Need a Stronger Arsenal, written by Ivic and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Clint/Roy. Summary: Clint bowls into a situation that could really use some backup. Luckily, Natasha knows someone who happens to be in the right spot and sends help his way. Clint briefly sagged against the brick wall behind him, let his head tip back and rest for just a moment. He was exhausted, and he knew he was in trouble if he didn't figure out how to speed things up. He'd rushed in without a backup plan because, of course, he had. His brand wouldn't let him do anything else. But the thing was, he hadn't meant to be on a mission at all. He'd stumbled onto the dogfighting den by accident and wasn't about to let that continue on for a single second longer. So, he'd left long enough to retrieve his bow from his hotel room and called it in to Natasha, who had told him to stay put and wait for backup, with the exasperated tone that said she knew she was wasting her breath. Of course, if he'd realized the den was actually a warren and the bad guys were apparently breeding like bunnies, there were so many of them, he might have waited, or at least procured a stronger arsenal. A couple of knockout or tear gas canisters, maybe a couple of small grenades, for the upper levels. Not anywhere near where the pups were being housed or shoved into the cage matches. He wished he'd brought more of his trick arrows with him, but when he'd been packing for the trip, he had only been planning to use the bow recreationally. But if wishes were fishes, as his ma used to say, he hadn't really understood what she meant when he was a kid, and he wasn't 100% clear now, and it was a mark of his exhaustion, or possibly blood loss, that he was thinking about the phrase now. He took one last fortifying breath and pushed away from the wall, trying to channel Bucky's murder strut as he stalked down the hallway. He could do with some of that super soldier serum stamina right about then, too. He stepped over a few groaning bodies as he left the room, pettily digging the toe of his boot into one as he went. He knew there were at least three baddies regrouping in the room he was about to barrel into, the one they had fled to, and suspected they had joined more of their friends. He breached the room on his knees, firing five arrows in quick succession as bullets rained over his head, where chest height would have been had he walked in. The arrows did their job, giving him breathing room to scramble to a more defensible position, and he was pretty confident that only two people were still standing. Not that that meant everyone on the floor was completely out of commission, but he hoped they'd stay down and out of his way. The guns were new. No one had fired at him so far. Instead, he'd been attacked with flying beer bottles and brass knuckles and one chair, and just an overwhelming number of bodies. His grand plan had been announcing that he was there to shut things down, counting on his vigilante costume and bow and arrow to do most of the work and convincing them to cooperate. Instead of people scattering to avoid getting caught or shot, they'd turned on him en masse, and he'd been overwhelmed pretty quickly, particularly since they seemed to clock pretty quickly that he wasn't aiming to kill. He'd managed a series of shots, using about half his quiver before he had to convert his bow into the bow staff mode Tony had designed. The fight had been drawn out, attackers pouring into the giant conference room turned arena in an almost comical number. It reminded him of the clown car at the circus. How many assholes would pour through that door? They had eventually petered out, and then the last three remaining idiots had fled out a different door than everyone else had been coming through, and he'd taken a quick breather, feeling every blow that they had managed to land, and the sting of several slices across the meat of his upper arms, back, and thighs. He thought most of them were pretty superficial, but suspected the one on his back that curved into his left flank would require stitches. Nothing to do for it now. The gunmen had recovered from the surprise of arrows flying at them and were shooting at the thick oak desk he had taken and flipped onto its back to take refuge behind. Actually, he was pretty sure only one person was shooting at him. He didn't know if that meant the other person he'd spotted with a gun was out of ammo or waiting for him to pop up once the other guy paused to reload. As soon as there was a break in fire, he chanced peeking around the side and discovered it was the second option as a shot pinged the wood inches from his cheek. He pulled back as quick as he could, cursing the feedback still squealing at his aides that made it so he couldn't hear if anyone was advancing on his position. Yeah, rushing in had been a bad decision. There was another break in fire, and his aides equalized out. He was debating standing to shoot while they were presumably reloading when a distinctive thwip and thud cut through the air. Shock had him leaping to his feet. He goggled at the fallen bad guy who had sprouted an arrow with unfamiliar fletching in his chest. The only other person still standing took an arrow in the shoulder, and Clint finally came to his senses to spin and see who the hell was stealing his shtick. The redhead with amused eyes was smirking at him, an arrow knocked and ready to go if the bad guys continued to cause problems. Clint's throat felt dry in a way that had nothing to do with the exertion or his injuries. "What?" Clint asked, feeling like he was reeling a little for all that he was standing still. "Is that the last of them, or?" the stranger asked, and Clint shrugged. He grimaced and clapped a hand over the stinging cut on his ribs, and the wound pulled open at the movement. "You hurt?" Red asked, a frown on his plush lips. Clint frowned at himself, wondering where the flowery language in his thoughts was coming from, before remembering he needed to answer the question. "Not really. Come on, let's clear the rest of the building." "I already got the West Wing, not that there were many. Seemed like most of the people were in the room you cleared. Just the basement left now." Clint nodded and led them out of the room to the stairs. Even with his subpar hearing, the aides could only help so much, he could hear dogs going wild beneath them. Red let him take point, even though he was obviously fresher and uninjured. Clint appreciated it. He'd known plenty of people who would have tried to take over the impromptu op, given the state of affairs, and he didn't have time to get into a pissing match about it. When they made it to the basement, there were only four men in the giant room. Clint thought the basement must have run the length of the building, undivided into rooms by walls. Instead, kennels stacked three high, formed aisles. Clint was overwhelmed by the din and sheer amount of dogs trapped in two small cages, snarling and snapping, responding to the loud noise and unfamiliar men with aggression. He moved on automatic, firing arrows without conscious thought, turning two of the men into pincushions. His vision dripped red with rage. It was a struggle to hold back from taking killing shots. One of his targets was probably never going to be able to use his left shoulder again, and the other would need years of rehabilitation to walk the same. Clint had no regrets. The other two figures were felled by his new partner in a somewhat more restrained fashion, though they would also need prompt medical attention. Clint crept closer to the line of kennels, peering in. The row to his right was full of older, broken dogs, snarling their fear and desperation into the night. But to his left, the top row was chock full of puppies, most of them cowering into the dark corners. The swell of emotion had his knees buckling, only Red's sudden, strong grip keeping him on his feet. Clint hadn't even noticed him moving close enough to grab him, which was vaguely concerning. "Are you okay?" The words were more distant than his hearing aids could account for, but Clint was sure he hadn't suffered that much blood loss. He blinked at Red, still processing the sheer number of animals in the room. "I think we got all the players. Time to make a break for it." "But what about—" Clint started to protest, making a weak effort to tug his arm away, but Red's grip didn't waver. "The authorities are on the way. They'll wrap this up, get all the dogs taken care of." Clint opened his mouth to protest again, unsure he trusted the local authorities to care for the animals instead of euthanizing them for the crimes committed against them, but Red cut him off. "We need to get you out of here and patched up. We aren't from here, and I don't feel like spending the night in an interrogation room to find out why we decided to handle the situation on our own." Clint's brow furrowed. "Where did you come from anyway?" "Got a phone call asking me to do backup. You're lucky the convention center and my hotel were so close by." "Hotel?" "Yeah, you don't think I was carting my baby through the convention, do you?" The man hoisted his bow slightly to make sure Clint knew exactly who his baby was. And all the while, Red was inexorably pulling him along. They'd gotten to the base of the stairs before Clint realized what was happening. "Where are we going?" Clint asked, deciding to just go with the flow. "Widow sent me the address for a safe house. I think that'll be our best bet. Jason says she keeps the best first aid kits he's seen outside of the Batcave. Unless you've got supplies wherever you're staying." "No, wasn't expecting to get into trouble." Now that they were moving and the cacophony wasn't assaulting him anymore, he felt a bit more aware. "Jason? Nat's Jason? You know Nat's Jason?" "Yup. And I've never seen my bestie so gone on anyone before. I think she's good for him." Nat's good for anyone she wants to put in the effort with. Red gave a laugh and steered Clint out of the building. Clint could just hear sirens now and let Red prod him into moving faster. "What about the arrows?" he asked, even though it was too late to do anything about it. "I bet our friends can handle that for us." Clint zoned out a bit as Red navigated them through the neighborhood, focusing instead on compartmentalizing the pain and pushing through the fatigue weighing heavy on his limbs. He wasn't sure how long it took before Red was pushing him through the front door of one of Nat's safe houses. He let himself collapse onto one of the kitchen chairs and gestured to the pantry door, where Natasha's extensive first aid kit was stashed. He started undoing the various straps and buckles of his costume, wanting to get the fabric off before the drying blood glued it in place. Red's hands stilled his where they were still fumbling at the clip. "I got you," he murmured, just loudly enough for Clint to make out the words. He found himself staring at the plump lips. It helped to see the movement with the sounds when he was tired. "Thanks, Red." "It's Roy," he corrected with a chuckle. "Clint." "Yeah, I know all about you, Clint." Clint flushed and made a quizzical noise. "Your best friend is dating mine, remember?" "Right, Jason." Clint sat there, pliant as Roy stripped him out of his tattered top and began to clean and dress the wounds. "She really likes him," he added after a while. "Really, really likes him." "Yeah, you telling me so I can warn him not to fuck it up?" "No, Nat takes care of herself. It's just good to see." Finished with the cuts on Clint's arms in front, he nudged Clint around to look at the slice in his lower back and made a disapproving sound. "This one's pretty long, but I don't think it's too deep," he said, prodding at the flesh around the gash. "I need you to undo your pants." "Gonna buy me dinner?" Clint quipped as he undid his fly and let Roy tug his waistband down a few inches to clean the bottom edge of the wound. Roy groaned and Clint stiffened at the response until it was clear it wasn't a rejection. "Not dinner, I'm still so goddamn stuffed. Honestly, you're lucky I didn't have to roll myself to your rescue." "Oh?" "Yeah, I'm in town for a food festival, and the ticket included unlimited free samples, and I might have overdone it a bit. But it was so good." "What kind of food?" "Vietnamese. My daughter's part Vietnamese, and when I was with her mom, I picked up a taste for it. She's with her grandfather for the week, so I figured this was a good way to spend my time off." Clint wondered if Roy was mentioning that he had a kid to see if it would scare him off, but he couldn't see Roy's face as he was applying a line of butterfly bandages to the gash. "How do you feel about pancakes?" "You asking me to breakfast?" "Yeah, we can swap incriminating stories about our besties." "Yeah, okay. Sounds fun." The end.